Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Parenting Pickup, a podcast simply made to help families with trending topics and so much more. We're positive you will pick up tidbits of helpful tips, tricks, activities, and advice when listening to our podcast. I'm your host, Kara. We're excited to have Tuba Nguyen join us today. Tuba is an early childhood education advocate and teacher who is passionate about celebrating cultural diversity and multiculturalism, and she's also an author. Welcome, Tuba.
Hi, thank you so much for having me here today. I'm so excited to share this space with you.
We are so excited to have you here today. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, so I am an early childhood education specialist and newly published children's book author. I work in the early child education field for over 12 years. I've held different positions such as a teacher's aide, center director, and then throughout the experience, I have advanced myself into the leadership aspect of systemic landscape in professional development for early educators, working at Child Care Aware of Minnesota. And I had gotten my associate's applied science in specialization in special needs and my bachelor's in early childhood education leadership. And now I also own my own small business called Children of the Collective Arts Academy, where I offer cultural consultations and do some author visits along with my book sales.
Tuba, that's amazing. And you're also an author. So tell us a little bit about your newest book, My Daddy Tells Me. What inspired you to write it?
Oh, there are so many different inspirations, but some great impact messages that I really wanted to have shown in this book was the positive affirmations that a father can provide to his daughter to help shape her self-identity. And through that, I reflected on my own upbringing and as a child, not seeing that representation for myself in children's literature and media. And so it was unbeknownst to me, but when I had published my children's book, that my protagonist character was the first Vietnamese Nigerian protagonist character printed in a children's literature. So that in itself was so exciting and bringing more of this conversation as well to the biracial diaspora, and that there are multi-ethnic and multi-generational images and stories that need to be shared in our communities and the wider world as well.
That's amazing. And I have to tell you that my family and I really enjoyed your book. And as a daughter, I really identified with the important role that a dad plays in the role of their children and helping them to feel confident and secure and appreciated and loved. And I know my children enjoyed the book too. And after we had finished reading it, they had said to my husband and I, they're like, "You do that too," which was really reaffirming. So thank you for the beautiful book. It's just wonderful. And I hope that everyone gets an opportunity to read it because it is just so touching and powerful. And so you had mentioned about diversity. And so tell me a little bit more about why is diversity so important in children's books?
Yes, that's such a great question. I believe that increasing diversity in children's books will help children build more of a global lens. And then it opens up their curiosity, their imagination, creativity, adventurous aspects of different things that they can read and put themselves in. And it allows children to have this windows and mirrors and sliding doors experience where it isn't just this what happens in your four walls or what happens in your community. There's a bigger and broader world out there that children need to be able to see and experience because sadly some children may not be able to leave their geographic locations, and that a book may be that gateway for them to explore and discover something new and perhaps bring something light and ignite something inside themselves that brings passion and curiosity and excitement for something new.
Absolutely. I think that's a really powerful message and an opportunity for all of us to also learn about someone else, and that not everyone has the same you know, experience that we have as a family, as a child. And I think your comment about seeing someone who looks like you in a book, you know, that's really important for children to be able to see someone who looks like them, that that makes sense, that they can understand and relate to. And then also the reverse is seeing people different from them too.
Absolutely. And that duality right there is just so important and impactful for young children as well, because we want children to absolutely develop that sense of empathy, but we also want to appreciate diversity from a positive light and not from a deficit, because we don't want children to feel bad for others because they had a more difficult upbringing or a diverse background. We want to celebrate that and understand that there are other causes that impact that, and that that child can have conversations with their parents and say, well, what can we do as allies? What can we do as people in this community, and empower each other in that? And that's what's so important, to have such diversity and such diverse stories out there to share for children and everyone to know. Because along the way in publication and history, sometimes it gets a little bit erased, and sometimes some stories are not shared because they don't feed into a specific narrative or agenda. And that's really hard to then decipher what information or what stories are meant to be shared. And so as parents and as those educators, we want to be in these, provide those avenues for our children to have these different stories and have these different perspectives and challenging conversations as well. And that's how that critical thinking builds that brain capacity and thinking as well, which is so important.
Absolutely. What tips do you have for families to find diverse books for their home libraries?
Yeah, so there's a few different ideas that come to mind. So first thing, let's support our local independent bookstores. So we have a few in the Twin Cities that are great champions of diverse books. So we have Garnett Books, Strive Bookstore, Liberate Your Bookshelf as a mobile bookstore, and another bookstore that recently opened is Birch Bark Books and Native Arts store. And so this is a great space for families to get out into the community, support their local businesses, but also build new experiences in these spaces of arts and imagination for the family is so impactful. Go to your local library. That's another great resource. If you don't have the financial resources to buy new books, you can certainly spend a day in the library and read all the free books that you can, and certainly get a card. And so you can check out that book and take it home and bridge those stories from one environment to the next. And what a great place then to read these stories in their home, where it makes sense for them and for that they can have this text to self, text to world, and text to text of realizations and connections for them.
That's great. I know my family is a huge fan of the library. We used to go all the time. The library, in addition to books, has scavenger hunts and fun activities to do as a family. So it's a great place to go to, you know, go on an adventure together as a family, but then also as you read to go on a new journey. So I think that those are really wonderful tips for families. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing too is that you can go to the book, to the library to discover new books, but there's also, if you have a title in mind that you want to see in your local library that you don't see, you can certainly make those requests to your local librarian and they can get those titles into their collection.
That's wonderful. I did not know that. That's fabulous. That's a great tip. Let me ask you this. Where can our listeners pick up their own copy of My Daddy Tells Me?
I would love to have community support in celebrating my book. Individuals can go to my website at mnchildrensbookauthor.com to purchase the book. If they'd like to have an in-person experience to buy my book, it is also available at the Midtown Global Market inside of the Art Shop, and that's located on 920 East Lake Street, Minneapolis.
Oh, perfect. That's great. So we've come kind of to the part in our podcast where we have families and that sent in questions for us. So I'd like to go over a few questions that families submitted for you to tell us a little bit more about based on your wonderful background. So the first question is from Oliver. And the question is, how do I engage in conversations with my child about multiculturalism and anti-biased education? Isn't that too complex for my young child to comprehend?
Yes, I know these can be big words and maybe a little bit intimidating for some, but I think that it's about naturally integrating conversations about diversity, equity, and inclusion in all aspects of life as you would any other topic of conversation. You can do this by cooking activities. Try a new recipe. Invite your child in that grocery store and have them go pick out the cucumber or have them pick out that carrot and have them contribute to that recipe, because once the children have that hands-on experience, it becomes a part of them and that experience, and then they get to understand this learning experience through their hands, and it becomes this whole experience of the self. So any cooking activities, trying to eat at different restaurants, you can also try going to cultural grocery stores in your community, and you don't have to buy anything. You can just go in there for the experience and see, make those comparative differences. Like, oh, when we went to Cub, we saw these type of vegetables, and now we're at this Mandarin market. Do you see the differences in the vegetables? What are the same? What are different? And those are those naturalistic ways to have your children engage in those conversations. You can also listen to different music. Have a salsa night. Have a Latin night and bring all the different music instruments into that and different music that's inspired by that culture. Get some books and make an evening of it. Have a little party at home. You could also watch different shows and try turning on the captions in a different language, just so the children can have access to see what French text looks like. Also have audio turned on that as well. So just different types of experiments that you can have that are right there at the tip of your hands. It's just a matter of just trying it out and seeing what it's like and navigating those conversations with your children.
Those are all amazing tips. They're so easy, like cooking with your children and dancing to different types of music. Those are all easy things that we can do as parents to help kind of help them understand different cultures and learn more. Those are great. So thank you for those suggestions. Our second question came from Luna. And her question was, how do I know if my child's daycare or early learning program is culturally responsive or engaging in inclusive practices? What can I do in my home to promote cultural awareness? So I guess that's a two-part. So let's start with the first part of how do I know if my child's daycare and early learning program is culturally responsive or engaging in inclusive practices?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. And I think a really great awareness around that is a great indication would be to reflect on the day and the treatment when you had that initial tour. What did you see? What did you smell? How did it make you feel, right? And what were the tones and interactions that you had? And during that tour as well, what policies were communicated to you? Does the program have an equity statement? Does it have a stance on expulsion and suspension? Does it have resources for parents and teachers for tools when there are challenging behaviors in the classroom? Are there family engagement events? Is there a communication board? Something in this space that shows you that every individual and family is respected, but also given a space to be shared their cultural backgrounds if they so choose to. But it isn't a sense of this over-performative or glorification of this is what we do and this is how we show culture diversity, because it's just beyond the aesthetics as well. It's about how you are made to be felt. So you recognize this at pickup and at drop-off. Who are the families that are getting spoken most to and who are not? And what are those languages like? So those are some of those moments to have that hyper awareness around, so you can kind of build that understanding about that space that your child is in for the majority of their day.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think those are really practical things that families can look for. And I think your feeling and kind of that gut reaction, it really speaks volumes, and parents should listen to that. So that makes sense. So the second part of Luna's question is, what can I do in my home to promote cultural awareness?
Yes, and I think the continuation of that as well is being mindful of the language that you use around your children, specifically when it's around diversity, race, and an equity and inclusion. And when we use fear-based language, for an example, when you're reading a story and you don't know how to pronounce a word or you don't know how to pronounce the author's name, sometimes an adult might say, "Ooh, I'm afraid to say that because I don't want to say it wrong." Well, then that fear will transcend into the child and, "Oh, I'm afraid to make a mistake and mispronounce something." Whereas this is a learning experience, and it should become from this appreciative aspect of, "I want to learn how to say this term accurately so I don't offend someone." So it's creating that understanding of the why and the how for children to better understand. So I think language is a really great component, but then I also think that the spaces that the parents bring their children to for play spaces, like, are we breaking out of the mold? Are we going to new places? Are we trying different experiences? So your children are not around the same homogenous group of individuals with the same perspectives and same thinking patterns. And sometimes that's okay, but it's also okay to try something new and get out there for your children to experience.
Those are great tips, so thank you. Our third and final question is from Ian, and he asks, how can I advocate for my child, other students, and their parents if I'm seeing a lack of representation in my child's daycare early learning program? I'm nervous I'll offend the staff or make my children vulnerable to mistreatment if I say anything.
I would definitely encourage and empower all parents to recognize that you are your child's first teacher and advocate for an equitable and open and inclusive learning experience, especially in their early learning years. We know that the brain is so formative during 0 to 5 years of age. So we really want to ensure that we are there for their children to be able to identify that if there is a lack of representation, that the parent feels comfortable and also able to seek out other parents or their providers to set up a meeting to work collaboratively to determine how we can set goals and focus areas. For an example, if the parents notice that there is a lack of representation in BIPOC teachers on their teaching staff, the question can be asked, what is the program doing to ensure that they're recruiting and retaining teachers of color in their program? And if there's a lack of representation because of a lack of diversity in that geographical space, then the conversation can be increased to, what are we doing as a program then and as a community to ensure that we're still providing a level of allyship and support for the greater community at large and not just what's here directly in front of us. But even then, there are diversity among families and structures and challenges that they're going through as well. So have those conversations among yourselves in that community. I think coordinating with parents and the community members in that space should take initiative as well to ask the staff and administration, what does it look like to diversify the books? What will funding look like for professional development for the teachers? What can families and communities do to uplift program field trips to historical landscapes or museums, public libraries, different public access areas for children to be able to go to and expand their understanding of the world around them?
Sure. And I think that open and honest communication is really the key to success in any type of challenges or suggestions for improvement. That's the best way to go about kind of taking that action. So I think that's lovely advice for families. Well, Tuba, thank you so very much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, and it was a blast being able to join you today and talk about my story and my book, and I hope that individuals will be able to find my website and make a purchase.
Absolutely. If you would like more information on how to buy Tuba's book or need access to other resources mentioned, please head to our website. And thank you, everyone, for listening. If you have any questions regarding today's episodes, please email us at parentingpickup@nhacademy.net.